Welcome to The Sting of Stang, conducted by the William Wallace of the American media. Alan Stang, exposing the propaganda pimps of the prostitute national press, from Rush Limbaugh to the communist broadcasting system, uncovering the conspiracy for world government, its tactics, its purposes, and its players, from George W. Bush, John McCain, and Hussein Obama on down. Now, here is author, patriot, raconteur, and bon vivant, Alan Stang.
Appeal. That's my only remedy.
Should I hang up?
All right. Do we have Mrs. Stevenson with us? Okay. All right. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. I don't know what went wrong. Something did. No theme today, but this is the Alan Stang. This is the Sting of Stang. This is Alan Stang talking. Technical difficulties, I guess, is the problem, but we are apparently on the air. And, ladies and gentlemen, as you know, the issue of our prisoners of war left behind well after all of our wars, beginning with World War I, after all of the major wars we've been in for 100 years, is a major issue, especially with regard to the prisoners of war left over after Vietnam. Of course, we left hundreds of prisoners of war behind in Korea. And again, we left hundreds of prisoners of war behind in Vietnam. Now, the reason that I've been paying so much attention to this issue in the last few couple of weeks or so is that, as far as I know, no one on the political scene has even mentioned the issue. It is still a huge issue. Those men are still there waiting for us to bring them home. And, of course, they are especially significant. The issue is especially significant because Senator McCain is one of the candidates. Let's take a quick break, and we'll be back with much more in just a moment. Stay with me.
It's a fact. Since the creation of the Federal Reserve in 1913, all banks in these United States create money out of thin air for every single loan they issue. With never-ending late fees, over-the-limit fees, and higher interest rates, it has become mathematically impossible to repay all debt, making all of us slaves to our creditors. The Federal Debt Relief System has created a successful attorney-backed program to legally eliminate credit card debt, personal loans, lines of credit, and other unsecured debts which have been fraudulently created by the banks. We can terminate your unsecured debt within 18 months with a much lower monthly payment, ending with nothing on your credit report. Join the thousands of Americans who now breathe with a sigh of relief because they have legally eliminated their debt. Instead of living each day in fear and frustration, it's time to take action and turn your life around. Call the Federal Debt Relief System at 877-943-8600. That's 877-943-8600. Or visit FDRS.org. Find out how you can break the cycle of debt slavery. Visit FDRS.org today.
Most of mankind's diseases have now been conquered. This medical breakthrough can save your life or the life of a loved one. Please listen. The answer to AIDS, hepatitis A, B, and C, malaria, herpes, TB, most cancers, and many more of mankind's worst diseases has been found. Details of this amazing secret has been freely disclosed in Jim Humble's book, The Miracle Mineral Supplement of the 21st Century, available at miraclemineral.org. Read how, in five countries of Africa, over 75,000 cases of malaria and other diseases were successfully treated with this new mineral supplement. Learn more at miraclemineral.org. It also works with cold, flu, pneumonia, sore throats, warts, mouth sores, and even abscessed teeth. Download part one of this amazing book free at miraclemineral.org. Then, if you're satisfied, purchase part two for only $9.95 or the hard copy for only $19.95. Please enter RBN when prompted on where you heard about miraclemineral.org.
Question: is the world getting better or vastly worse? A world economic collapse could come any day. Question: are you prepared or are you ignoring the signs? Question: do you have 7 years of healthy food for your family? Answer. Go to survivalistseeds.com now. 12,000 seeds giving you 5,000 pounds of food for just 4 pennies a pound. Without a long-term food solution, your choices are limited. Visit survivalistseeds.com and check out our doomsday water filter system. Without water, you die. It's all online at survivalistseeds.com. Are you prepared? That's survivalistseeds.com. Go to survivalistseeds.com. Do it now or become property of the New World Order.
Here again, Alan Stang.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, my guest this morning is Monica Jensen Stevenson. Mrs. Stevenson is a multi-prize-winning journalist, author, reporter, television producer. She, for among many other things, was a producer at CBS's program 60 Minutes. She is the author of a couple of books that I strongly recommend you read. One of them, Kiss the Boys Goodbye. Another, Spite House. These books are about the prisoners of war that the United States government left behind, the prisoners of war we left behind in Vietnam who are still waiting for us to bring them home. On November 7th, 1991, Mrs. Stevenson testified in Washington at the hearings then being conducted on the issue, chaired by Senator John Kerry of Massachusetts and by Senator John McCain of Arizona. And she began her testimony as follows. She says, "When I began this story for a 60 Minutes program, I was an experienced reporter. I was not naive. I felt that almost nothing would shock me, but I was shocked to find that my government which I believed had a common objective with the families of the missing and veterans, was deliberately lying and putting an incomprehensible resistance to the people they were most obligated by moral, legal, and constitutional mandates to protect. All right, Monica Jensen Stevenson, welcome to the program. Thank you for being with us so early in the morning.
My pleasure to be here.
Take us back, Mrs. Stevenson, take us back to those hearings. That was how you began your testimony. Fill in the details. What were you talking about?
Well, I had, along with my husband, just completed a really huge project, which was Kiss the Boys Goodbye, the subtitle of which is How the United States Betrayed Its Own Prisoners of War in Vietnam. And, of course, it was that subtitle that really got a lot of people riled up. But it was not, that title wasn't given to the book lightly. There had been incredible opposition to that book because my husband was a long-standing writer with many bestsellers to his name, A Man Called Intrepid, 90 Minutes at Entebbe, books like that. We had gotten a very nice advance for the book, and one of the biggest publishers in the U.S. Took it on, and everything went very well except that we were absolutely inundated. Because I had already done a program on this for 60 Minutes, we had incredible help, and we had help from direct sources. We had help from the veterans. We had help from intelligence professionals like General Eugene Tai, who had made the issue of prisoners the foremost of his goals when he was head of the Defense Intelligence Agency. We had veterans like Red McDaniel, who had been prisoners themselves. We had the families. We had everyone who was giving us the material that they had, which was difficult to get officially because everything was classified. So as we were completing that book, a lot of people were becoming very unhappy about the fact that we had this material. And so they brought in a new editor. This is a bit long, but it will give you the background that explains what happened at those Senate...
Go ahead,
Mrs.
Stevenson.
At the Senate Select Committee. They called in a very strange editor who we suspected of working for one of the intelligence agencies, and he went through that book, and he really did things that almost gave my husband a heart attack. He said, I would never put my name to a book like this. Facts were changed. We were made to look like we were libeling people, and finally they decided that they couldn't publish the book, and the reason they gave us was that if we put in all the backup that we'd had, we would be... boring, and no one would read the book, and if we didn't put it in, we'd be sued, and so they dropped the book. It's a long story from here.
Which publisher was that that dropped the book?
Well, you know what? I'm still in the business. This is now a long time ago, and I have decided for this interview this morning I'm really not going to deal with names because I'd like people to listen to the issue. If they want to find out the names, it's all in the book, Kiss the Boys Goodbye. It's all on the record, but I don't want to waste time in getting people thinking about this. Anyway, we had to sue them, and we won as far as we could take it, which used up all the advance money that we had gotten to the...
You sued the publisher.
We sued the publisher, yes, in bad faith. I mean, because we had done our work. It was a really good book. Everyone had said so. And that was then taken to summary judgment where the judge ruled for us that we could go ahead. But by that time, we had bankrupted ourselves practically, and we couldn't go forward any further because it's very expensive to do this kind of thing. So, but that copy, that sort of changed, horrible copy, disappeared. And, we still had a copy, but, anyway, the book was later picked up by a Canadian publisher. It was resold to the States. There was still great opposition. But a lawyer and some incredible lawyers in New York who had worked with Russian dissidents, some of the most well-known ones, Andrei Sakharov is one of them, took on the book, and there was an enormous task to fact check everything. I had to have four documents for every single thing we said, every fact we said. They tried to stop the book again, but they couldn't because of that. Then there were other there were other attempts to try to stop it. I mean, it didn't reach the bookstores for months. It was, and we were living in Asia at the, when the book came out, and our own copy that was sent to us didn't arrive for weeks and weeks. The publisher couldn't understand it, and it finally arrived in a FedEx package marked
Monica Jensen Stevenson. As a matter of fact, you, as I said at the top of the program introducing you, you were also a producer for 60 Minutes.
Yes.
The
CBS. I had done this story for 60 Minutes. But, of course, when you do a story like this for, a medium like that, it's not complete. It can't possibly be complete. There was a lot of problems at 60 Minutes as well, in that key people who were in charge of the issue, like the colonel in charge of the for the NSA in charge of the issue, as well as the person in charge of the issue for the Pentagon, actually called me and warned me off. And at that point, I was still so naive that when he actually called me and said, well, In effect, I would be threatening the lives of the people who were still alive over there, the prisoners, if we went ahead with the story. I knew that something was really, really squirrely with this story. And so let me get back to the Senate hearing, if I can. I'm just giving you this as background. So knowing all this as background, I arrived for the hearing that morning, and I was actually stopped by Captain Red McDaniel, no one can even question his record. It is so impeccable. He was one of the most tortured prisoners.
He told his story in Scars and Stripes was the name
of
his book.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did, which was magnificent. He is just, I mean, you will not find in the truest sense a more patriotic American who has behaved impeccably. As far as I'm concerned, he's just the very best. And he had just really been accused in front of the committee of things that of pandering to the families, of allowing himself to be used. And some of these things were said by John McCain, who had been a fellow prisoner with him. Red met me at the door as I came in, and he said, "Now, you know, Monica, sometimes you get a little heated up, and I want you to be very calm here, and I want you to go down there. And I want you to listen really, really carefully, because if you don't, they will tear you apart." They had already done horrible things to people like Dolores Alfond, who they brought her to tears with a missing brother. Red, of course, handled himself beautifully, but he was accused of things a man with that record should never be accused of. Other people, a CID investigator who had worked with us, who, again, had an impeccable record, all these people were just treated like absolute dirt. So I went down there, and I was listening very carefully. And John McCain took me on, and it's all on the record. I don't remember the exact wording of these things, but he said that he had kissed the boys goodbye in front of him, and he wanted me to question me about some things. So he started reading from what he said was the book, and occurred to me. I knew he wasn't reading from the book. He was actually reading from that copy I had referred to earlier, where the editor came in and changed.
He was reading from the bastardized version,
bastardized version. And I said, you know, I would be happy to answer you, Senator McCain, but I really can't, because you're not reading from my book. And he just blew up at me, you know, when he said, among other things, he said, "Do you know my record?" And I said, "Do you know who I am?" And I'd been on, you know, TV programs with him. So I said, "Yes, of course I do. And I have the greatest respect for your service and everything you've done. But, I just really can't answer, something that isn't from the book that my husband and I have written." And, you know, he said things like, "Well, what difference does it make? We're talking about the same thing." And I said, "Well,
okay, hold that thought, if you would, Mrs. Stevenson, hold that thought. We're going to come right back to it. Let's take a quick break. We'll do some business here on The Sting of Stang. We'll be right back with more from Monica Jensen Stevenson. Stay with us.
Listening to RBN has helped you to prepare for an emergency and invest in the gold and silver markets, but now you'd like help managing your other investments. Would you prefer personalized investment advice? Onesti Investment Advisors can help. Onesti Investment Advisors will customize a portfolio with no conflicts of interest. Onesti Investment Advisors is a fee-based firm. We do no underwriting and receive no commission, so we always look after your interest. The better you do, the better we do. Get diversification by investing in stocks, bonds, mutual funds, ETFs, and more. Onesti Investment Advisors can help fund education, plan for retirement, lower your taxes, increase retirement income, and protect against a falling dollar. You've worked hard for your assets. Former floor trader and certified financial planner certificate, John Onesti, has the experience to help grow your investments. If you're looking to improve your investment results, call or email for a free consultation. Onesti Investment Advisors, 505-296-2453. That's 505-296-2453. Click on our banner ad on RBN or visit our website at onestiadvisors.com. Onesti Investment Advisors, looking after your investments.
Are you concerned about cholesterol, blood pressure? Are you experiencing chest pain? Are you looking for a more natural method to help improve your health issues?
I had two mild heart attacks, and I had an 80 to 90% blockage in my artery. Don recommended I take this Cardivite. I haven't had any chest pain since I've been on it. It's brought my cholesterol down. My blood sugar was really fluctuating from 10 to 14 when I went on the Cardivite. You know, it really leveled it out. I'm really pleased. And I feel so good about it. I'll tell you, it's great for your circulation because I've noticed that I've had problems with my feet because of the diabetes, and they're getting better. They don't hurt as much. It's really great. I recommend this to anybody.
To learn more, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our website at heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com. Call 1-877-928-8822.
Are you new to freeze-dried foods? These fine, easily storable foods were first developed for the U.S. space program. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. Freeze-dried foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. Why store emergency food? Keeping food on hand for emergencies protects you the same way as does insurance on your home or car. With Freeze Dry Guy freeze-dried foods in your food reserve, you can be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. In today's turbulent times of uncertainty, global crisis, world market collapse, stock market volatility, increased frequency of natural and man-made disasters, there has never been a better time to get a survival insurance policy. Take the necessary steps to protect your family in these uncertain times. Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. We pay the freight within the lower 48 states.
Here again, Alan Stang.
Again, ladies and gentlemen, our guest this morning, Monica Jensen Stevenson, former CBS 60 Minutes producer. All right, Monica Jensen Stevenson, you're sitting in the hearing room. It's 1991. Senator McCain claims he's reading from your book, but he is not reading from your book. What happens?
Well, I ask him to hold it up to show me. And, of course, he loses his temper, and that's not very pretty to see. It's not pretty to see at all. In the end, Senator Kerry sort of sotto voce says to him, you know, John, I think she has a point. And, you know, that was it. I think I probably was one of the few people who kind of got away without a real smear job, which it appeared to me he was trying to do, was put on C-SPAN. As I say, a lot of people had a chance to see it. And I went on that day to a luncheon given by the Vietnam Veterans Coalition, which at the time was the largest veterans group in the country, and they awarded me the Vietnam Veterans National Medal, which is the award in my life that I am proudest of.
Go back, if you would, Monica Jensen Stevenson. Obviously, you can't tell us everything. There is an Everest of evidence. But give us some indication of what you're talking about. Most Americans hearing this for the first time, of course, would be flabbergasted to learn that we've left men behind and that our government has done everything it could to refuse to get them back. Give us some of the evidence you accumulated.
Well, I suppose the strongest evidence at the time, in particular, and you have to remember at that time the evidence was really, really strong, came from General Eugene Tai, who had been head of the Defense Intelligence Agency. Now, he never compromised himself in giving away secrets, but he testified openly. I attended numerous hearings where he referred, and also we interviewed him for 60 minutes, and then we spent a long time, my husband and I, talking to him for the book. And he outlined the kind of evidence that they had, which he referred to as a miracle. He said that we would have won the Cold War in the first 2 years if we'd had evidence of that kind on the Soviet Union. And the way he described it is that we would get specific reports on specific of people with their names who would be in a specific place on a specific day speaking to so-and-so. You know, groups of prisoners who had been seen in this place, other groups who had been transported there. Some of this information came from South Vietnamese who had been our best allies, who had been in camps with our prisoners, who, again, absolutely trustworthy people. So, you know, he was a primary resource. And then at the time, there was a congressman named Appleby who had collected satellite reports of it, you know, where the satellites had flown over places like Laos, where I think the bulk of prisoners were left behind because we never acknowledged that we had been at war there, so we could never acknowledge that prisoners had been taken, but there were close to 600 on the official list that we were negotiating for up until the day the peace accords were signed. Once they were signed, they were suddenly, they disappeared.
And Laos, as I recall, the Laotian government, as I recall, admitted that it had them.
Oh, well, yes, of course, we were negotiating with them. That's right, before. But afterwards, everything was denied. And those satellite reports showed the ingenuity of our prisoners. I mean, it was absolutely remarkable. One of the most striking things I remember is that not only their identification numbers, which couldn't be matched because the government wouldn't release the corresponding identification number, kept it classified, and by the time the families finally got the right to those identification numbers during the Senate select hearings, the identification numbers the government had been destroyed. So, you know, they could stamp them in the ground or mark them out with rocks so the satellites would see them. It wouldn't make any difference because the government had destroyed those ID numbers. But one prisoner was so ingenuous, he stamped out on the ground his home telephone number when he was a boy. And so his family knew for sure that it was him, because, I mean, that was true. But, you know, all of these things were referred to as coincidence. The government took the position that, well, you know, formally we take the position that there are people alive, but we have seen no evidence. And they kept asking for smoking guns and evidence, and more evidence piled up, and that's what our book was all about. And but it was never good enough. And, of course, it's because the policy was that, we didn't want them back. And I think Colonel Peck, who is the only person who ever headed this issue.
Colonel Millard Peck.
Millard Peck, who resigned and stuck his resignation to the door of his office with his Bowie knife. He was so fed up. He received the Veterans National Medal the same day I did, so I had an opportunity to speak to him. And he, of course, said that our policy, our government policy, was the opposite of trying to bring them home.
He coined the phrase, a mindset to debunk, a mindset to debunk.
Yes, and that was Colonel Tai, too. But
all right, let's take another quick break. We're talking with Monica Jensen Stevenson. We'll be back with much more from Mrs. Stevenson. Stay with us.
Thank you. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
It's a fact. Since the creation of the Federal Reserve in 1913, all banks in these United States create money out of thin air for every single loan they issue. With never-ending late fees, over-the-limit fees, and higher interest rates, it has become mathematically impossible to repay all debt, making all of us slaves to our creditors. The Federal Debt Relief System has created a successful, attorney-backed program to legally eliminate credit card debt, personal loans, lines of credit, and other unsecured debts which have been fraudulently created by the banks. We can terminate your unsecured debt within 18 months with a much lower monthly payment, ending with nothing on your credit report. Join the thousands of Americans who now breathe with a sigh of relief because they have legally eliminated their debt. Instead of living each day in fear and frustration, it's time to take action and turn your life around. Call the Federal Debt Relief System at 877-943-8600. That's 877-943-8600. Or visit FDRS.org. Find out how you can break the cycle of debt slavery. Visit FDRS.org today.
There we go.
You've heard the commercials on Life Change Tea, the all-natural, clean-your-system-and-lose-weight product. Well, maybe you don't believe. Maybe you doubt. For those who don't believe, we will give you a money-back guarantee. That's right, a 45-day money-back guarantee. Some restrictions apply. That's right, if you don't feel better and lose weight, you can get your money back. So what are you waiting for? Call now. Friendly operators are standing by. 928-308 0408. That's 928-308-0408. Or you can order online. GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Or you can go to LifeChangeTea.com. Read up on us. You have nothing to lose. But wait.
Here's Dr. John Mattson, a naturopathic doctor, and his views on Cartavite.
I would like to thank you, Don, for making my job so much easier, because your products just make it so simple, right? To fool around with a lot of exotic things that don't work, we can just put them on Cartavite and things start to work almost right away. I've had dozens of patients with heart problems who have corrected them. And what it's doing, there's so much garlic in there that has a yeast-killing effect. That yeast is a big problem in the gut, pushes the liver hard. It also has metal chelating effect. And most of the other herbs in there, I find that strengthen the arteries. They help to neutralize free radicals. Your remedy is as close to what we do in our program as you can get as far as one supplement goes. It's working on the gut. It's working on the liver. It's working on the arteries. What more can you ask for?
For more information or to order your Cartavite, call 1-877-928-8822. Cartavite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or tincture. Our website is heartdrop.com.
Here again, Alan Stang.
Monica Jensen Stevenson, we've heard many years of rumors to the effect that the Soviets played an active role in our prisoners of war there in North Vietnam, and that the Soviets interrogated and brainwashed our prisoners of war and even brought some of them back to the Soviet Union for brainwashing. Can you amplify a little bit on that subject? Do you know anything about it?
Well, I mean, I can just, yes, I mean, you know, when Yeltsin himself first came into office, he gave a speech in Vancouver where he verified the fact that the Soviets had U.S. prisoners, Vietnam prisoners. I don't think he referred to prisoners from previous wars, although they've been known to have those as well. They came down on him like a ton of bricks. And I think the reason for that may be, and he never said it again. And it was impossible to get any further information. But that may be because the man who had headed the prisoner issue for a while, during Bush Sr.'s administration, was put in charge of all economic assistance to the former Soviet Union. So I think maybe that had something to do with the fact that Yeltsin very quickly shut up. He clearly thought he would be doing us a good deal and that this was, of course, something that we would want, but we didn't. And there is an absolutely incredible amount of evidence, and I refer you to my good friend John Brown, who wrote a book called Moscow Bound. You might want to have him on the show, because I don't think anyone could do more thorough research than he has done on that aspect.
Now, many people listening to us for the first time, hearing all of this for the first time, are utterly aghast. And they're wondering, well, why? Why would our government go to the lengths that you have uncovered, Monica Jensen-Stevenson, to not only to abandon our men, but to do everything they could to prevent them from coming home? Why would our government, one administration after another, do that?
Well, I think General Alexander Haig probably put it best when he said it's a can of worms. So that even the president, who was probably the most well-meaning one on this issue, which was President Reagan, finally backed off and just dropped it. It's difficult, and it goes back to the origins. One has to decide why oneself. I think at the beginning, the war ending was such a mess. It came out formally that President Nixon had promised the Vietnamese reparations money, which then, because of Watergate and all the things that happened, was never paid, and Congress didn't want to pay it. And I think it just became easier and easier to debunk. I mean, people forget after a while, you know. The only people who kept that issue alive were the families and the veterans.
And the Vietnamese again and again have offered to return our men if we would pay them.
And there were such strong cases and incidents along the way, which again, you know, they become an issue for a time and people fight it and then people forget. There was a Secret Service man in the room, and National Security Advisor, Richard Allen, when, an offer was made by the Vietnamese, which actually came through the Canadians, for a number of American prisoners. They were trying to get money for them. And, I mean, this incredibly brave Secret Service man, and I will mention his name because I'm such a great admirer of his, it was Siffret, actually took his own career in his hands. I mean, and there was no career after he went public.
Would you say his name again?
Siffret. And he told what he had overheard. And then briefly, Allen, the security advisor who had been part of this, admitted it before the Senate Select Committee, but then a few days later he said that he had misspoken. So this is the kind of thing that happens. I mean, believe me, if you dare to tell the truth about this issue, a ton of bricks from somewhere will land on you in some way.
Now, we were told for years,
everyone, especially those people who were inside. I mean, General Tai's reputation was almost totally ruined by this. I mean, these are people who, the people who are in charge of this have a lot to gain. You see, they're quite willing to write off complete lives, but their own lives, their own reputation, their own place in history is so important that they can't possibly allow this to stand. And, that's my opinion. But
now,
I mean,
Mrs. Stevenson, for many years we were told, if we could only get one man back, if we could only break out one of these prisoners of war, the whole issue would break wide open, if we could just get one of these men back.
Yes.
And so finally, in 1979, we do get one man back, one man somehow on his own, without the help of the U.S. government, manages to bring his captivity to worldwide attention. And because of that, the Vietnamese had to release him. He boards a flight in Hanoi, an Air France flight. He flies from Hanoi to Bangkok. Air France flight, he is treated as an international hero, because the French, of course, were accustomed, were thoroughly familiar with the issue, because the communists had kept their men after the defeat at Dien Bien Phu that gave North Vietnam to the communists. So he's treated as a national hero. He lands on that Air France flight in Bangkok, and for the first time now he meets Americans, and now he is not greeted as a hero. He's accused of being a traitor. He's read his rights and flown back to the United States to be put on trial. Tell our listeners what I'm talking about, Monica Johnson Stevenson.
Well, that's the subject of my book, Spite House, and it's the story of Bobby Garwood, who endured the longest court-martial in U.S. history, and I do hope people will read this book. It is, it outlines a total travesty of American justice. This was a man who was accused of being a traitor, which carried the death sentence by firing squad. A man who was accused of going over to the enemy voluntarily and working with them. And it was a lie, because he came back. He had, in fact, been a prisoner the entire time. And I prove that in the book. I mean, I use all the documentation. During that court-martial, they suborned perjury, the government. That is absolute fact proven. They pulled every sleazy legal machination and trick that you could do to find him guilty. And despite that, they were not able to find him guilty of being a traitor. So then they changed the charges to collaboration, and they found him guilty of collaboration.
Now this was during the Reagan administration.
Well, he came back in 79.
In 79, but this thing endured well into the Reagan administration.
Yeah. The problem, though, relates back to Jimmy Carter's administration, because Jimmy Carter had just declared all but one symbolic prisoner dead. So once that decision was made, right, it was over for the prisoners. I think that's what most people don't understand. And Bobby Garwood came back a few months after that, right? So there are all of these documents in the Carter Library of how his people scrambled. I mean, you know, they didn't know how to deal with Bobby Garwood. They outline that they have to do something. They mention things like that, you know, this is a game they have to play because the American people are so concerned about the men who were left behind. So Bobby just fell into that. I mean, Bobby was a teenager when he went into the Marine Corps. He had been in a little bit of trouble with the law. He couldn't get along with his stepmother, and so his dad actually called the police about the altercation, and that's been made into a big thing, but it wasn't a big thing. But that's why he joined the Marine Corps. He was totally gung-ho Marine, and 10 days away from coming home when he was captured, and they said he went over to the enemy voluntarily. I mean, just let's think about this. This is an ordinary, there weren't even any, this was very early in 65. There weren't even any draft resistors or protests or things. He came from a background where he didn't even know what that was about. And this was a guy who supposedly was intellectually persuaded and went over to the enemy voluntarily. No, I mean, and it's, anyway, the proof is there that he was captured. We all know that now. But it doesn't make any difference, because try as hard as, you know, and he has had strong supporters. I hoped that my book would bring about an appeal. It hasn't happened. And he has very strong supporters, including people who were in the Reagan administration, who were assistant secretaries of defense, people like that. But no one has been able to bring this about, because once they destroy you in that way, it's almost impossible.
Bobby Garwood has become something of a mystery man. He has never, correct me if I'm wrong, Monica Jensen Stevenson, he has never spoken out to publicly to tell his side of the story, to tell in his own words what
happened. Well,
he
did to me. That's the story of Spite House. He cooperated absolutely with me and told his story. And at the time, he did some interviews. But, you know, it's very difficult to keep on doing this, to keep going over it and over it. He worked for years with a lawyer, Vaughn Taylor, who tried very hard to get him an appeal. But, you know, people have to survive. And court cases cost a lot of money. His lawyer could never even put the money together for the paperwork to do an appeal. And so, you know, that's why. Yes, of course, he has spoken out, and he has spoken out usually and most strongly about the other men that he knows of. And that, of course, is the biggest thorn in the side of the people
In fact, Monica Jensen Stevenson, isn't it true that it took them 7 years before they debriefed him about the other prisoners
right.
he had seen?
That's right.
They waited 7 years to ask him about the other prisoners he had
That's
seen.
That's right. And, of course, you know, the biggest evidence, and I have all of these documents, again, because I've had so many people even inside helping me and making this possible. There was a case of the mortician. This was a defector who came out also in 1979, and he had been Chinese-Vietnamese. So that's why he had to leave the country, because they were at war with China at that time and they were booting out people. But he was a colonel and he had a very high position. And thanks to Senator Bob Smith, who was on the Senate Select Committee, he was actually debriefed. And where he acknowledged that he lied about Bobby Garwood, because he did recognize him as a prisoner. But there is a lot more that is in his debriefing. And in his debriefing, he wasn't just a mortician, which is what we referred to him and what he testified before Congress about. He was actually in charge of live prisoners, in doing reviews on live prisoners. So our government knew absolutely precisely, at least for the Vietnamese communists, which prisoners were still alive, because he did those reviews after the war. That is a classified document in
now,
U.S. files.
Monica Jensen
our
Stevenson,
government has continued to deny.
Monica Jensen Stevenson, in your testimony, you said this. You said one of our sources is a retired CIA man of high rank who personally saw prisoners in Laos in the early 80s. He reported this to the appropriate agencies, and he knew which ones they were. Tell us more about that, Monica Jensen Stevenson. Who was this man, and whom did he see?
He was a retired CIA person who I think just got fed up. I mean, I don't think he was even pushed out of the agency. But, you know, he's not the only person who has seen prisoners. There were others who have. There have been people who were able to get DNA from prisoners. Again, now, this is a long time ago. I personally feel that there are not very many alive anymore, because, I mean, how long can you survive under those conditions? But there are some. And of course, the best proof came when, about 10 years ago, the communists finally released the South Vietnamese. Now, throughout this period, they were, you know, our government was telling us that all of ours had been killed. And even at the Select Committee, even when they acknowledged that they'd been left behind, Schlesinger, who had been Secretary of Defense, stepped forward. He said, I can't help but believe that they were left behind, which is the strongest statement from someone like that we ever got. But then, you know, he speculated that they had all been killed. Well, they hadn't. I mean, they were in the camps with the South Vietnamese. The South Vietnamese were released 10 years ago. If the U.S. government had played its role properly, Americans would have been released along with them. It's as Colonel Peck said, on that day when I spoke along with him, our policy was the opposite of trying to get them back. It was to let the Vietnamese know that they would not get what they wanted in terms of diplomatic and economic relations if they did release the prisoners. That is as gross as it gets. And that's not for me. I'm quoting Millard Peck, who was in charge of the issue, again, whose record is impeccable. These are not people who get involved in this. It isn't an issue to get involved with because for reasons of self-aggrandizement or money or anything like that. Almost anybody who dares to tell the truth about this issue suffers in some way.
And again, Colonel Peck, Millard Peck, a bird colonel, he was in charge of the of this issue for
yes,
a while.
And he's the one who actually brought the mortician before him, one of the first ones, and said, showed him pictures of prisoners, including Bobby Garwood, and asked him who this man was. Did he know this man?
Let's take another quick break. We'll be back with more from Monica Jensen Stevenson in just a moment. Stay with us.
Are you new to freeze-dried foods? These fine, easily storable foods were first developed for the U.S. space program. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. Freeze-dried foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. Why store emergency food? Keeping food on hand for emergencies protects you the same way as does insurance on your home or car. With Freeze Dry Guy freeze-dried foods in your food reserve, you can be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. In today's turbulent times of uncertainty, global crisis, world market collapse, stock market volatility, increased frequency of natural and man-made disasters, there has never been a better time to get a survival insurance policy. Take the necessary steps to protect your family in these uncertain times. Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. We pay the freight within the lower 48 states.
It's a fact. Since the creation of the Federal Reserve in 1913, all banks in these United States create money out of thin air for every single loan they issue. With never-ending late fees, over-the-limit fees, and higher interest rates, it has become mathematically impossible to repay all debt, making all of us slaves to our creditors. The Federal Debt Relief System has created a successful attorney-backed program to legally eliminate credit card debt, personal loans, lines of credit, and other unsecured debts which have been fraudulently created by the banks. We can terminate your unsecured debt within 18 months with a much lower monthly payment, ending with nothing on your credit report. Join the thousands of Americans who now breathe with a sigh of relief because they have legally eliminated their debt. Instead of living each day in fear and frustration, it's time to take action and turn your life around. Call the Federal Debt Relief System at 877-943-8600. That's 877-943-8600. Or visit FDRS.org. Find out how you can break the cycle of debt slavery. Visit FDRS.org today.
Most of mankind's diseases have now been conquered. This medical breakthrough can save your life or the life of a loved one. Please listen. The answer to AIDS, hepatitis A, B, and C, malaria, herpes, TB, most cancers, and many more of mankind's worst diseases has been found. Details of this amazing secret has been freely disclosed in Jim Humble's book, The Miracle Mineral Supplement of the 21st Century, available at miraclemineral.org. Read how, in five countries of Africa, over 75,000 cases of malaria and other diseases were successfully treated with this new mineral supplement. Learn more at miraclemineral.org. It also works with colds, flu, pneumonia, sore throats, warts, mouth sores, and even abscessed teeth. Download part one of this amazing book free at miraclemineral.org. Then, if you're satisfied, purchase part two for only $9.95 or the hard copy for only $19.95. Please enter RBN when prompted on where you heard about miraclemineral.org.
Here again, Alan Stang.
Monica Jensen Stevenson, you yourself have traveled very widely everywhere in Southeast Asia. Have you yourself ever seen any indication? Have you ever seen yourself any prisoners of war left over, kept behind after Vietnam?
Well, I have without looking. I was traveling not too long ago, and with absolutely no motivation to find POWs. It was not kind of a trip. And anyway, I don't feel that I'm experienced enough, or I'm just not equipped to do that kind of thing. So I was very surprised that yes. Through sheer circumstance, because I had lived in Asia before, and so there are some sort of cultural things that I like to do, in doing one of these things, I saw someone who I can only assume was, and I say that because I'm very familiar with special forces in particular, who played a large role in that country I was in. And this was a man who made it clear that he had knowledge of these things, and he had a very strong American accent when he spoke, which told me exactly what part of the country he was from. But he was, I wrote very briefly about him recently in a book called Perfidy by Top Holland, because he's such a symbol. I mean, he's a totally destroyed soul. I mean, totally destroyed. And, but, you know, there were flashes of lucidity, and, I don't know what he sensed about me, but he did come up to me on one more occasion, and we just looked at each other. I mean, it would have been absolute folly to say anything on either part, but I just knew, he was. Let me just tell you that he was in. He was crazy is what you would refer to him as, and there's no way that you could miss it. He had certain physical traits that would identify him, and I've been looking at someone has actually now sent me faces of a large volume of people who were taken prisoner, and I'm trying to go through them and compare them to this man. He was dressed in just a cloth wrapped around his middle, obviously familiar with weapons, because he was pretending that the pickaxe he had was a weapon, using, again, American terminology. I actually found out from Bobby and some others who had experienced that when people lose their mind in that kind of situation, the local people are very superstitious. They feel that the spirit of the person is wandering and could haunt them if they don't.
Monica Jensen-Stevenson, thank you so much for being with us. It's been an electrifying conversation. Thank you so much for taking time to be with us here on The Sting of Stang. Be with us tomorrow, ladies and gentlemen, same time, same place. Until then, remember, as always, arm yourselves.
Gold has been.